And good evening. I'm Paul Richards here at KSBK. Tonight, we are hosting a Warfano County Sheriff's Candidate Forum live in studio for the three candidates on this year's ballot. On the Democratic side, we have current Warfano County Sheriff Bruce Newman with us. On the Republican side, we have current Warfano County Commissioner James Chamberlain and also William Everhart. Our format tonight will include each candidate giving an introductory statement of 5 minutes. Then I'll ask various questions that have been submitted to us over the past week. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to provide their answer to each question, and we'll rotate who will be the first to answer each question. Then at the end, each candidate will have 3 minutes to give a summary and explain why you should vote for them. All right, let's go ahead and get started tonight. Everyone has agreed that we will start with current Warfano County Sheriff Bruce Newman. So, Bruce, 5 minutes to go ahead and introduce yourself for those who may not know you, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, my name's Bruce Newman. I appreciate everybody tuning in for this tonight. I was literally born, raised, and lived in this county my whole life. I've got a wonderful partner that we've been together for about 3 years, me and Kathy. Raised 4 kids in this county. My kids have gone to school in La Vida, Gardner, and here in Walsenburg.
This is probably the only place I can imagine ever living. This is where I'm from, this is who I am, and this is what I am. The people in this county and jurisdiction are outstanding. I couldn't imagine wanting to be anywhere else. I believe my 39 years in law enforcement in this county, except for 1 year. I did 1 year work for the federal prison system at Supermax in Florence. It's the highest security prison in the United States. I've already been through one of the most intensive background checks a person can go through just to work there. But my knowledge of the people, this town, law enforcement in general, it's just my life. That's what I do. I had considered kind of retiring a little bit this last term, but I'm just not ready to retire. And if I've got to do something, I want to do something that I love, and I want to do something that would benefit the citizens in this county.
All right, Jim, let's go to you next for an introduction. 5 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. My name is Jim Chamberlain. I'm current county commissioner. I'm running to serve as your next sheriff of Warfano County. I've lived and worked in this county for 43 years. This is my home. I'm raising my family here. I built my career here and dedicated my life to serving this community. I'm a 26-year Air Force combat veteran. That service taught me discipline, accountability, how to lead under pressure. And after serving our country, I continued serving locally with 19 years in law enforcement. I started my law enforcement career in Lahana, where I worked a little over a year. And then I got hired on to the Walsenburg Police Department in 2000. I worked there for 13 years. Worked as a patrol officer, senior officer, patrol sergeant, and then 3 years as the chief of police. I worked 5 years in the La Vida deputy marshal. I've also worked the streets, supervised officers, managed budgets, and led departments. If elected sheriff, my priorities will be simple. Protect our citizens, support deputies, strengthen community trust, and be responsible with taxpayer dollars. In my current position, I realized that there's a lot to learn, and I'm still learning a lot. But one of the things that it's kind of strange, because my other careers, I've started at the bottom and worked my way up. Being at the top tier of county government, you get an overview of all of it. Warfano County is a great county to live in. I've lived here for 43 years. Grew up working on a ranch. I worked at Pizza Hut when it first opened up for 5 years before I went to college. And then I came back after 3 deployments in the military. And this is where I want to raise my family. And this is where I want to be a law enforcement officer. I understand rural law enforcement. I understand this community. I understand what it takes to lead. I've worn our nation's uniform. I've worn my badges here with honor. I'm ready to continue serving you as your sheriff, and I respectfully ask for your vote and your trust. Thank you.
All right, Jim, thank you. And Will, go ahead and introduce yourself again. 5 minutes for you.
Hi, I'm Will Everhart, and I wanted to thank everybody for joining us tonight. This is a super important election cycle for us. So I started in, I moved to Colorado when I was 13 years old. I moved to Southeast Colorado when I was about 15 years old. I started running businesses at 18 years old. So I've been a CEO, a COO, run multiple organizations. First and foremost, I'm a family man. I have a wife and four beautiful kids. And law enforcement has been my lifelong passion. If you ask anybody in my family, they'll tell you I was two when I decided I wanted to be a police officer. I think it was probably a little bit later, but I pursued that in my 20s, became a police officer in southeastern Colorado, worked my way up very quickly to police chief. But at the time, I was 27 years old, not quite ready for politics, didn't even have an understanding of the world. Anybody that's been 27 can kind of relate with where I was at that time. So I continued my business pursuits concurrently with law enforcement. I've now been a law enforcement officer for the past 11 years, as well as a reserve some time before that. And I like to stay active in my community, give back when I can, whatever I can. So aside from family time and work time, this campaign's my sole focus for the meantime. I thank everybody again for being here tonight. Should be a good time.
All right. Thank you, Will. We'll go ahead and start asking questions. And to keep with our rotation, you guys might have to help me remember who's next. But Jim is the next one to be first up. So our first question tonight, why do you want to be sheriff in Warfin Oak County? Jim, to you for 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, I think I have a lot to give. Got a good understanding of the law enforcement workings, working in Walsenburg and working in La Vida as a deputy marshal. Met a lot of people, have done a lot of enforcement actions, and I think that with my military background and my previous law enforcement background, I can do some good here in this county as the next sheriff.
All right, Will, let's go ahead and go back to you for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think my answer is going to be very long. It's pretty simple. To protect this community, uphold the Constitution, and bring strong leadership and accountability back to the sheriff's office.
All right. And Bruce, you can take 2 minutes if you want, but of course you don't have to.
The reason I want to continue to be sheriff is between my experience being one of the biggest things, my knowledge of the people, this community, I think I can best serve as sheriff than anybody else. When it comes time for me to be replaced when I retire, it needs to be somebody from the sheriff's department that takes my place. And no offense, but I've been the chief of police here in Walsenburg for 7 years. There's a difference between being a police officer and being a deputy and being out in the county. And I think that with my knowledge, experience, and just being here all my life, this is who I am, this is what I do.
All right. Next question, and Will, it'll come to you first. How will your political affiliation, we should probably maybe take a second to explain, because this is just a primary coming up, but we have both Democratic and Republican candidates here. Will, you a Republican as well as Jim, and then Bruce a Democrat. So Democrats will only be able to vote for Bruce in the June 30th election, or you should have your ballot now or soon. And Will and Jim, you are the ones that are actually running against each other for the Republican nomination. But we opted to have everyone come in so that everybody can equally see who's running for Warfin Oak County Sheriff. So, Will, the question to you, how will your political affiliation affect your performance as sheriff in Warfin Oak County?
Quite simply, it won't. The badge is nonpartisan. My duty is to enforce the law and protect all residents equally within Warfano County, and to do whatever I can at a county and state level to ensure that our future in Colorado is bright, that our citizens are well protected, and that's what's most important. You know, this is where my kids are growing up, and that's a huge thing to me that people don't seem to realize. This doesn't just affect everyone out there listening on the airways. This affects my family first and foremost personally, right? And that's the world that I want to make sure that they're growing up in.
All right. Bruce, to you.
It makes absolutely no difference what your political affiliation is.
even living here all my life, I can't tell you what most of the people's affiliation is. It doesn't matter what your race, color, religion, anything is. We treat everybody exactly the same. We're going to do everything we can to help. And in a small community like this, political affiliation doesn't affect any of our positions, whether it be commissioner, assessor, anything else. Our jobs are laid out for us. We're going to do it to the best we can, and an affiliation has absolutely nothing to do with it.
All right, and Jim, to you.
I could make it short and sweet and say, yeah, what they said, but it doesn't make a difference to me what political affiliation you are, and it hasn't in the past working as a police officer. You don't sit there and go, well, let me think. If this guy is a certain political party, I'm not going to, you know, give him the same or her the same attention as I would somebody else. No, that doesn't make any sense. It's a nonpartisan position. And you know, just like being a county commissioner, you work for everyone. And there's not just one group or one certain person that gets all the attention.
All right, moving on to our next question. And Bruce, we'll go to you first on this one. As sheriff, how would you handle or how do you handle drug-related crimes in the county?
We go after everything we can get. We get any stories, any rumors, we get enough proof. We do search warrants. And we've done as many as 100 search warrants in a year. We're very aggressive. We'll go after it. Fortunately, I believe our drug-related crimes in the county have dropped. And I like to think that's because we've been busting them and they're smart enough not to keep on doing it.
All right, Jim, for you next.
Proactively go out, and officer presence is one of the biggest deterrents because those that are out dealing drugs and doing crimes, they normally, and I would say normally usually don't do it in front of a marked patrol car and a uniformed officer. And there's been many times in the past where I say, well, they're dealing drugs right there on the corner of 7th and Main. It's like, well, they're not every time I drive by, but of course you drive by in a marked patrol car. And, you know, hitting it hard, have a good relationship with the DA's office so you can get out there and get these crimes and criminals prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and that acts as a great deterrent.
All right, Will, how, and anytime you guys want me to re-ask a question, just feel free to say, how would you handle drug-related crimes in the county?
Well, first of all, aggressively pursue and arrest dealers and traffickers. For the addicts, I think there's a bit of a different pursuit there. I think we should support pathways to rehabilitation and recovery programs. You know, when I first started in law enforcement at a young age, I didn't believe that addiction was such a disease, but it really is, and it really takes hold of people and it destroys their lives. And it's heartbreaking to see some of the things that the three of us have all seen out on the streets in Walsenburg and in Huerfano County and wherever else that we've been.
That wasn't yours.
I think that was a continuation of Bruce's.
So just to be clear, I think that it'll be just like I've always been as a street cop, chase them down. People can absolutely do some research. I got the first drug trafficking bust of the new Walsenburg Police Department after we established in 2025, and I'm still getting to go to court over that and aggressively pursuing a conviction on that individual. So it's an extremely heartfelt thing in southeastern Colorado. We've all seen it, and we've all been victimized by it in some way. And we have to help the ones that are doing it, and we've got to put the ones away that are selling and trafficking drugs.
All right. Moving on to the next question here. Let's see, Jim, you're up next. As sheriff, how would you address the homeless and transient population and the vandalism theft issues that they cause in the county?
That's a really great question because it's something that has been going on in this area for a long time. And it's really difficult to take care of because there are no programs around here. Programs that have been started just kind of have gone by the wayside. Getting the word out, you know, somebody new comes into town, you say, hey, we have very limited services here in this area. Pueblo's the closest with their soup kitchen. Alamosa has one. Trinidad has a shelter. And it's just very difficult here in our area for the homeless transient population and the vandalism and theft issues. You have to handle that aggressively, too. Once they get here and they find out, you can't just go around and vandalize. You can't just leave your trash here. You can't be harassing people. I get it. You need money to survive. But, if you walk up to somebody and you ask them, hey, can I have some money? And they say, no, I don't have any, because it's a really tough area. And everybody's feeling the pain. It's very difficult, but aggressive enforcement and assistance, because every situation is different.
All right, Will, let's go on to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So poverty is no excuse for crime. I would enforce the laws against theft and property damage very strictly. One of the things that I do in my business is security services in the metro areas, and see a lot of homeless and transient populations. And some of the things that those much more well-funded areas have been able to put in place, I think, aren't too far out of reach. I think that's one of the lacking positions of the current administration, and that's at the county commissioner level and at the sheriff's office, is that we're not seeking out enough resources, both at a state and federal level, to try and increase our resources for that sort of thing. So that would be a huge thing on my part. Again, that's another terrible thing that we see. And it usually goes to one of two ways. Is it's either a crisis of a mental health issue or a crisis of a drug issue or those two things combined. And so that's a specific population that you have to deal with very carefully. But as far as crimes, if they're committing crimes, we're going to prosecute for that. If not, we're going to find them the resources that we need to help them out, to get them somewhere else, or to get them in a better area here. That's one of the plagues of Walsenburg. From the day that I started here, I counted out 16 houses with structural damage from fires that they just leave standing. Why doesn't the city do anything about that? That leaves, as a police officer, I would find, homeless, drug addicts, teenage kids who ran away from home. And then that ties up all of our resources in something, who wants to live next to that? Why aren't we doing something about that, brightening our community so that, we can get some new blood here, get some people that want to live and are proud of their community and where they live next to.
All right. Bruce, to you now.
I'll start with the homeless transient. You'll see that the homeless transient, probably 95% of the problems there within the city limits of Walsenburg. And out of those people, I can almost guarantee about 95% of them are people who grew up here. They got into the drugs, and their families will not let them around anymore. As far as the way we deal with it out in the county with the homeless and the transient, we've got a fund that we started up between the hospital and social services and us. And what we'll do is we'll tell them, we have no services for you. Here's a bus ticket, and we send them on their way. It may sound kind of cold-hearted, but it gets them out of here and somewhere where they have a better chance of getting help. As far as the theft and vandalism, again, I think between the trust of the people we have in the county, we have a lot of people that'll talk to us and tell us who's doing what and how we can catch them. And we do, and we prosecute them. Again, we've made a lot of arrests just on that alone.
All right. Will, you get to start the loaded questions here. What is your stance on ICE agents, and would you work with them if they were arresting someone in Warfano County? Do you support the private prison in Walsenburg being used as an ICE detention facility?
So let me start with staff of the sheriff's office would never be appointed to an ICE task force or be leased out to the government for that sort of thing. I think that's too big of an issue here. Hits a little close to home for a lot of people. So that would always be out of the question. However, if they have due process, warrants, court orders to pick these people up, that is a completely different situation, and we will cooperate fully. As for the private prison, I support jobs in Huerfano County. That's really what I would like to see. Doesn't have to be an ICE facility. It could be a something else. We definitely have a crime problem in Colorado.
We're only
40 miles south of one of the top crime centers in the United States, with one of the highest crime rates per capita. So some of that spills over to here. Again, in my time in the police department, we were able to identify drug traffickers coming up and down from Pueblo and from the south. So that's always a consideration.
All right, Bruce, to you next.
We've worked with immigration in the past on people who've committed crimes. We don't just go out looking for people. They don't come down here looking for people. It's people that have been arrested on serious crimes that we've dealt with, and that's all we would do. We're not going to spend our time out looking for them. There's no need for it, for one thing. As far as the ICE detention facility, I would much rather see it turn into an actual prison again. And logistically, I don't know if that'll even happen. The workforce in this county is just not here. And when they actually closed down the prison, I think the majority of their workforce was coming from Pueblo and from Trinidad. I don't really ever see it being an ICE detention, and I'm kind of worried it may never be a prison again. But he's right. We need jobs. I don't think ICE detention would be the best thing. But again, the federal government does what they want. We're limited on what we can do. If they do come down, they do have warrants. My best suggestion would be, let me know, we'll help you, because we make sure nobody gets hurt, and we'll make sure we believe that it's a legitimate warrant. I've heard of a lot of horror stories about going after somebody who's done absolutely nothing at all. And with my knowledge and experience of the people in this county, I have a pretty good idea if they're really the person they're looking for.
All right, Jim, let's turn to you now.
Yep, well, I can start off, and it's not going to be very popular, but I have friends that are ICE agents, not in this area, but friends that I grew up with that are working hard. As far as would I work with them if they were arresting someone in Huerfano County, it all depends on the situation. And like has been said, and I will reiterate, if they have legitimate warrants and probable cause, if they're down here and they're trying to take someone into custody that they have a legal right to do, and people start harassing them or trying to block them, then yes, we will go out and help. We will make sure that everybody is safe, not just the ICE agents, but the members of the general public too, because they are federal law enforcement agents and they are doing a job that they were hired to do. The private prison, I remember being here when it first closed down and it took $500,000 chunk out of the city's budget. It would be nice to see it open again as a detention facility. It doesn't have to be an ICE facility, and that doesn't, like has been said before, it doesn't look like that is going to come to fruition. But overflow for the state prison system is something that is being looked at. We haven't got any more information on it other than that they were looking at it, and it would be nice to bring it down here, but the workforce isn't here. They'd be coming in from Trinidad and from Pueblo, and maybe if we get them young enough, there can be a workforce that has grown here that could staff them.
All right. Let's go on to the next question, I believe. Bruce, your turn to be first up.
Okay.
All right. How do you feel about Colorado's red flag law? Would you enforce it in Huerfano County?
Well, I'll explain what the red flag law is to begin with, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. The only reason your person can go and try the red flag law is it has to be a family member, an intimate partner, something like that. It can't just be a neighbor or some guy that doesn't like somebody. Once they make that complaint, then it goes in front of a judge, and the judge will make the determination if it meets that criteria. If it meets that criteria, yes, we will enforce it. We've only had to enforce it very few times in this county, and both times, or the times we've done it, it was definitely needed. So it is actually, in the long run, a good law.
Yes, and just to add on to that, with the red flag laws.
And this is Jim.
Yes, this is Jim. Sorry.
That's okay. No, that's okay.
it has been expanded, and they did sign off on the expansion of the Gold Dome to include now hospital staff and school staff. And there's a few others that they added in there too. But yeah, it's something that has to go before a judge and has to be something that's legitimate. Not, you can't just go in there and say, well, I feel like, you know, Jim's a danger to me because he has guns in his house and he has an American flag. And yeah, no, that is not good enough for that. But yes, if it was properly put through the court system, then yes, it would be enforced.
All right. And Will, your answer.
So mine's a little, while I agree with some of those points, I oppose laws that violate constitutional due process. I'm sorry. I don't think that, I think Colorado's red flag laws are overreaching. And I think that's a huge problem. I think each year, yes, it has to go in front of a judge, but that recommendation from a peace officer, I have some problems with that. I have some problems with any kind of firearm confiscation, I don't agree with red flag laws. That's pretty simple for me to put. I've seen it used. I've heard it was effective, but you can't predict the future. So I'll just leave it at that. I don't agree with them.
All right, we'll move on to the next question here. And Jim, you're up first this time. Do you believe that people have the right to defend themselves? And as part of that, do you support the Second Amendment?
Yes, I do, wholeheartedly. People do have the right to defend themselves. And in Morfino County, that right is held to a very high standard.
I'm not very good at this kind of thing, am I?
That's okay. No problem. And Morfino County is pretty unique in that there's not just one political party that says, I support the Second Amendment, and you don't. In Morfino County, everyone that I have talked to, I mean, I know there's a few outliers out there that don't support the Second Amendment and like to see all guns go away because guns are bad and guns kill people, but no, they don't. They're a tool. They're a tool for self-defense. They're a tool to defend yourself, your family, your friends. And I do believe that the Second Amendment is supported. And I have it right up here because it's the right to keep and bear arms.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah, it just went out the window. It got a little bit of a heat flash. And yeah. A well-regulated militia, necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And it even goes on to say that in the Colorado State Constitution, but as we've seen, that doesn't get followed all the time.
All right, Will, your turn.
I just have to say, all I took away from Jim's thing is that he supports the Second Amendment unless the state comes in and puts in overreaching regulation. So let's keep that in mind. I support the Second Amendment. I don't agree with red flag laws, as I said before. I think everybody should have a gun. Everybody should have two guns. I'm a firearms instructor in like 8 different disciplines. I teach my children. My guns are in the safe the rest of the time, and they're perfectly safe. Colorado needs help with mental health. I started in hospital security at 18, along with being a business owner. And the thing that I saw the most was my timer's about to run out there. The thing that I saw the most was mental health issues. I've also worked in hospitals concurrently with being a police officer and a business owner. In 20 years of doing this career field, I have not seen I've seen marginal improvements in mental health in Colorado. It's an epidemic level thing. And our problem is that we don't have enough funding for it and nobody's seeking out funding for it. That's it.
All right. I think we'll not worry about the timing thing because you guys are not going over time. So, Bruce, your turn.
I'm a huge supporter of the Second Amendment.
when the Japanese surrendered, they were asked, when you took out Pearl Harbor, there was nothing to keep you from invading California. Why didn't you? They said, because we thought everybody, you know, they believed that it was going to be a street-to-street fight. They couldn't win. I've got a brother who worked for NASA. He's been all over the world. He was told the same thing. The only reason nobody invades the United States is because they think everybody, including your 90-year-old grandma, has a gun and knows how to use it. If that's what it takes to keep us safe, more power to it. I'm probably about the only sheriff right now in the state of Colorado that does not charge for concealed weapons permits, because I believe everybody should have one. This new Senate bill taking this training for these semi-automatic guns is ridiculous. I think it's going to go away. But in the meantime, we won't charge for that service either. I think everybody that can legally own a gun should have more than two and all the ammunition to go with it. Yeah. So I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment for different reasons. It's their guns are a good investment. They can defend you. They could feed you. They're entertainment. There's just a lot of reasons why guns are good. I think Charlton Heston's the one that said, there's no good guns, there's no bad guns. There's only guns in the hands of bad people. So.
All right, moving on. Let's see, Will, I think you are up for the first person this time. What is the biggest problem with the Huerfano County Sheriff's Office currently, and how would you propose to take care of that problem?
Well, I just got to say that, Bruce, you almost won my vote just on your take on the Second Amendment. That was very inspiring. But then I remembered I'm on the ballot. So to address that issue, so I think if you would ask me 6 months ago, 8 months ago, a year and a half ago when I started with the Walsenburg Police Department, I would have had a different answer. And I would have told you that the deputies weren't out there doing things and that they needed to be. My answer would be, I don't know, they could try doing anything. And I've had that conversation with people in the public. I don't think they were doing enough, but now that there's a re-election bid, I see, you know, cop cars every now and then. So my answer is deputy retention and visibility. I'll fix this by aggressively securing grants and for better pay. Improving training. Training is my shtick. I'm an instructor in like right around 20 things, mostly use of force related and some other topics that I also had an interest in. But so training's a huge one. And grants for that are so easy to get. I don't know why we're not pursuing them. I've seen, you know, the sheriff's office spend money on sending people to training that made absolutely no sense to me. We've got two guys that are certified as snipers, but we don't have a team big enough to go through the door to go pull somebody out, and we have to call Pueblo SWAT down and waste hours and hours of resources, and that's a big problem for me. So actively putting more people on patrol to rebuild community trust, and that's not even addressing the issues within the jail and the jail staffing. So, but that's the end of that question for you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bruce, your turn.
One of the biggest problems with the Sheriff's Department is money. We're one of the, if not the poorest county in the state. The money's not there. And I think for what we've got and what we've had to work with, we've done an excellent job. Granted, when we were doing the city of Walsenburg, we were doing the city and the county with 8 officers. Right now, the city of Walsenburg has 14, just the city. So now, when I get back to full staff, right now I'm down to 8. We get back up to 11. It'll make a big difference, but you are definitely going to be seeing the guys out there a lot more, and they have been. We're not doing the city anymore. They're out there. The city drug us down in more ways than one, but a huge problem is money. But we've learned how, you know, poor man has poor ways. We've done what we can with what we have.
All right, Jim, to you.
Yep, and one of the biggest problems, like I said, is manpower and money. In my current position as a county commissioner, we have been going out and looking for grants to supplement training and all of those things. And we have not turned down any request for funding from the sheriff's office. And outreach, get out, and I could say outreach, more like recruiting. recruitment. It's tough to recruit into Huerfano County. And we did find out at the Colorado Counties Incorporated Conference we just went to in June, at the beginning of June, Huerfano County is now not the poorest county in Colorado anymore. There's one that's this poorer than we are.
Subject to change.
Yes, subject to change. Everything changes. Just get out, outreach, trying to get, and that's one of the things that I'm working on, we are working on at the county, is trying to get some affordable housing, housing that people can afford. I saw it after I left La Vida, and they were working in there, trying to get somebody to come in as a deputy marshal. And they had quite a few applicants, quite a few people came down, but there was no place that they could find that they could afford, and they'd be taking $20,000, $30,000 a year pay cuts to come down in our area. So we're actively trying to get that changed. And yeah, Huerfano County is a great place to be.
All right, our next question. Bruce, you're up first again.
Okay.
What is the biggest law enforcement issue in Huerfano County, and how will you deal with the problem as sheriff?
Well, we have several problems. And one of my, getting back to the training part of it, I have my officers or instructors in certain things. That's how we keep saving money. We don't pay instructors. We have our in-house instructors. But a lot of the, one of the biggest problems is the mental issues. And from when I first started to where we're at now, the mental health for people in this state sucks. It's not there. It's not helping. It's horrible. And that's one of the biggest things that needs to be corrected, not just for Huerfano County, but the state in itself. One of the problems we have is now that we have a lot of people coming from Pueblo, especially in the valley, to commit crimes. And we've caught a lot of them, and we're kind of surprised, why are you guys coming here? I mean, I sit down and I talk to these guys. I sit to them and talk to them on the street, the drug addicts, whatever, and ask them why. And they'll tell you. And these guys said, well, we didn't think we'd get caught down there. And or they were too well known where we're at, so now we're hitting other areas. And it makes it harder to catch them. We still do. Thank God there's a lot of cameras out there. And again, we still have a lot of trust from the citizens, neighbors, a lot of information we come from people just keeping their eyes open.
All right, Jim, to you next.
Yep, that, well, and I, it's, it, I know it's going to sound redundant, but yeah, the drugs, the people coming in from, like, say, the valleys, and they come here because, like Bruce said, they are too well known where they are. And it takes a while. I mean, you see somebody new in town, and it's like, oh, hey, what are they doing? And just, you know, outreach, education. You see somebody coming into town, and we did this in La Vida too. Somebody comes into town, and you're like, oh, yeah, because they're carrying a backpack, they're carrying a tent, and you stop and you talk to them and say, hey, you know, there's no services here. And, you know, they ask, can we, you know, camp in the park? It's like, sorry, there's no camping ordinance in the park. But I can help you, point you in the right direction. Like I said, Alamosa's got the closest soup kitchen and shelter. And from that direction, and, you know, I've personally given rides to people that have come into town, even off duty. I'll get off shift and say, hey, you're still here? Would you like a ride down to Trinidad where you can get something? And they're like, yeah, sure. And so, yeah, just getting out and doing the outreach and help, it does make a really good difference.
All right, Will, to you next.
Yeah, so the question is, what is the biggest law enforcement issue in Huerfano County? And Bruce alluded to several, you know, policies, procedures, training, budget. I still say it's a lack of action. All those resources are available. You got to get out there and find them. You got to get out there and find the bad guys. And the deputies don't do it sitting in dispatch.
All right. The next question goes to Jim first, I think. If elected or reelected, what are the three most important changes you would make within the sheriff's office, and what three things currently being done well would you continue? Why are these items a priority to you?
Okay, well, just coming from my experience in the military and drawing on that, one of the things that I think would be important to change would be to, you know, reorganize the framework. You know, there's right now it's kind of, you know who the leaders are, you know that. But there needs to be a separation, like patrol, administration, and the jail. Have specialists in charge of each one of those sections to be able to take care of all that, which would free up more time for the higher-ups to go out and look for grants and training and those kinds of things to get those done. Also, a dedicated training section. One of the things that we did at the police department too, that Bruce is doing there, you get your officers and you get them certified trainers. So you don't have to go outside. But if you do go outside, there's, and I think it's still around, the Southeastern Regional Law Enforcement Training Foundation. You go out, do training, you can request reimbursement so it doesn't cost that much for you or your agency to get those done. Some of the good things that I've seen that the sheriff's office is doing now, community outreach, the Kids Academy I see that's coming up, that looks really good. That's a really good outreach. Maybe add on a Citizens Academy, and that way you can get more information out and people can actually go and see what the deputies are doing and how that affects, day-to-day life here in Walsenburg and in Huerfano County. And also, getting out and being seen. I went to the color run for the Gardner Valley Schools. They're raising money, and the undersheriff was out there, so we had a good time, and he laughed at me and took a few pictures as I was getting pelted with paint. Getting out and doing community outreach to get the people interested.
All right, Will, let's go on to you.
So I am still looking at my question here.
Sorry about that.
Processing slowly. So I think the three most... Oh, sorry. Let me read that again. The three most important changes that I would make within the sheriff's office is personnel. You've got to get the morale back up. You've got to get that training done. You've got to get them re-motivated. The second is equipment, specifically the vehicles. They're way behind what they should be. They can't go to a call if the car doesn't run. We've seen some stuff parked out there that we just know doesn't run. So I think that's a big issue. And the third, I had a third. Where'd my third go? My third would be the jail. The jail has been a wreck for a long time. And again, that kind of goes back to the personnel side of things, and training, administration, that sort of thing. The things that I like, the Axon program they have is phenomenal. That's one of the things I'm an instructor in. They have a really good program. I've actually helped the sheriff and his staff do some training over there with Axon on their new devices. The computer-aided dispatch system is great. That's something you don't see in a lot of smaller places, and there's so many places that helps. They're on Facebook now. I think it's due to the re-election bid, but they're on Facebook and they're posting things that they're doing. You're being able to see some transparency there, and any outreach bids, anything that they're doing for outreach is phenomenal. It needs to be done. They've lacked transparency in the past, and I think that's a great thing for them and good things going.
All right, Bruce, on to you.
Okay. Just to address a few things, like one with the vehicles. We hadn't had the money in our budget for 5 years for even used vehicles. We've had a couple of donated a few, but again, the money's not there. The condition of the jail is in horrible shape, has been for years. I've been asking for 20 years to get stuff done, and always got put off, and this came first, and that came first. And now we're at the point it's going to cost the county a lot more money. That's not me. I've made the requests. The money's not there. As far as getting it to where you can, for me to go out and look for grants and stuff and separate your detention or your patrol officers from your command staff, that doesn't work. We're small enough. I answer calls. My staff answers calls. Sometimes they need backup. We stay busy enough. You don't have time for that. Again, a huge thing is the money. One of the things I've done to try to change this, one of the biggest things I did was say no more with the city.
We didn't have the money to do the manpower, to do it right. I was elected to be the sheriff, not the chief of police. So I think one of the biggest steps I took was say, no more city. We can concentrate back on the county. We've had a lot more public involvement, a lot more patrol. We've had school resource officers. We work with our victims very well. We work with a lot of agencies, State Patrol, LaVita, the city of Walsenburg. The chief they have now is one of the best chiefs I've ever worked with. Our DA's office is doing an excellent job. We've got excellent judges. We're moving forward, and we're going to continue to. We're very aggressive on trying to solve a lot of these crimes. I'll put my officers up against just about anybody else. They're very intelligent. They do work hard. They sit in dispatch sometimes to take a break. Yeah, they do. When you come from the scene of a horrible accident, you need to come in and unwind for a while. And that's one thing about being a sheriff's deputy or being the sheriff is you're going to see some of the worst things you ever imagined. They do need to unwind. I think we've got an excellent rapport with citizens. Nobody's going to have 100%, but I can guarantee you I'll probably have the highest percent of working with and having the trust of the citizens than anybody else will for a long, long time.
All right. How are you guys doing? Because I know I'm getting hot. Do we need to open the door? People don't know we're in a 13-foot by 13-foot studio, so.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good if you guys are good.
Well, we don't have too far to go, so. Yeah. All right. Will, you are up next for the, or up first for the next question. And this one, some of you have kind of touched on this anyway, but I'll go ahead and ask it. What specific steps would you take to increase public confidence, improve accountability, and address concerns about a lack of trust and transparency within the sheriff's department? Will?
Yeah, absolutely. So be out in the first place. Be engaging and interacting with all citizens of the county. From there, like I said, the Axon program is phenomenal. They're body cameras. That's a huge transparency thing. It's a state law. You have to have body cameras. Identifying each individual deputy. That was one of the other things that I was going to go back to was uniform in one of the other questions. You know, lack of uniform standards is a huge thing. So sort of standardizing that so they know who they're talking to, who they're dealing with. They know that their interaction is always being recorded, that you know, if they need to make a core request to see that footage, they absolutely can and that they'll get that. So overhauling citizen feedback paths, how do they come in, how are they interacted with in the office to get that information? That's a huge thing. We don't want anybody waiting for things that they feel insecure about. You know, anytime dealing with a police officer can be jarring, even for me as somebody who's been in law enforcement for so long and been around law enforcement for so long. You know, the encounters aren't always my favorite thing to deal with, even if I'm just a little lead-footed on the pedal, right? So accountability starts at the top. My office will absolutely be accountable and transparent at all levels because those are the people that are going to put me in office. Those are the people that I'm always responsible to. And again, it's my family. What kind of an environment do I want my own family to grow up in? And that's the things that I would expect for the people that would work in our office.
All right, Bruce, to you next.
To increase the public confidence and improve accountability, we've always have an open door policy. And believe me, people use it. I spend a lot of my time meeting with people, victims, questions. You know, as far as the Colorado Open Records Act, certain things can't be released either because it's a pending case. If not, my administration staff, the girls are outstanding. They can get it to you. They can get it to you quick. I don't think I've ever had any complaints about my administrative staff at all. We don't hide anything, never have. Matter of fact, my cell phone, I can guarantee you about 70-80% of the people in the county have it. I get calls nights, weekends, holidays, it doesn't matter. We don't hide anything, we don't have anything to hide. I mean, I've lived here my whole life. I will forever. This is my home. And I want to make sure when I retire, it's going to be a safe place for me to retire too.
All right, Jim, to you.
Yep, and just continuing along, get out, be seen, talk to everyone, talk to the public. I've lived here, you know, quite a long time as well. I went to school in La Vida. I hung out in Walsenburg, one of the few that was able to transition the La Vida-Walsenburg rivalry. And it helps. It helps a lot. People aren't afraid to come up and say, hey, you know, this is going on over here. Hey, this is going on over there. Even in my current job, people are like, hey, Jim, I know you. We went to school. Hey, what about the roads over here? I was like, yeah, sure. So, yeah, continuing to go out and be seen and have the deputies go out and be seen. The community outreach part is awesome. When I saw about the Kids Academy that's coming up, that's something, you know, if they would have extended the age up a little bit more, I'd probably have my daughter in that. She's seen it on you know, my side, being a law enforcement officer when she was growing up. And it was kind of funny because my wife asked her, do you want to be a cop when you grow up? And she's like, no. And I'm like, good answer. It's not for everybody. But getting out and you know, do what you tell people you're going to do. That's how you instill confidence. Enforce the law. Enforce it equitably for everyone.
All right. Will, your turn.
I think the big part is just we need to modernize how we talk to the public and how we communicate with the public. So things like Facebook, Twitter, things that can get live updates and updated information. You know, we took away access to law enforcement channels on our radios because so many people had scanners and were showing up to some dangerous things. So we won't be transparent on that under my administration at all. The radios will still be closed off, but the rest of it, you know, as things develop that we can release that aren't, you know, pertinent to an active investigation, absolutely. And of course, an open door to me, you know, they can have the policy manual, they can see everything that is in policy. That's something I hear is, the policy says this or the policy doesn't say that. We'll absolutely be transparent and get that out to people so that they know, again, what we're doing, what we're about all the time.
All right. I think we'll make this next one, the last question, because the last question actually will kind of...
I don't think I answered this one.
Oh, you didn't. I'm sorry, Bruce. Yeah,
that's okay.
I started and they went over there.
Okay. Go ahead.
And same thing. Maybe should we put stuff sooner on Facebook or something? It's something that's new that we've started. We're not trying to hide anything. Our policies are available to anybody. We're actually in the process of updating them because they haven't been updated for a while, but we're in the process of that. And we're out there. The guys are out there a lot more. You'll see the deputies at the school in La Vida. You'll see them in Gardner. You'll see them in Cachera. They're out and about. I'm out and about. I attend a lot of these functions. We don't have anything to hide.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay, so let's see. Jim, you did yours first, yes. Right? Okay, so Will's first. The next question is very similar to that. Do you guys want to address that? It'd be number 11. Kind of.
I thought that was number 11.
Yeah, I thought we did number. Yeah, we did number 11.
I think we're on 12.
We're on 12 now.
Okay. Well, and I was thinking we could actually put 12 in kind of your summary, because I think you probably want to stump saying why people in Warfano County would benefit with you being sheriff. Is
yeah.
that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll go ahead and let's transition now. We'll have you do your basically a summary of what's gone on here, what you want to talk about specifically, and tell people why you should be the next Warfano County Sheriff.
Yeah, perfect. So I think the biggest thing is I bring a fresh perspective. You get a new take and new ideas to solve a lot of really old problems that I think should have been dealt with already. That's, again, the whole reason that I'm running. We can't keep doing things the same way and expect a different result. And I'm ready to bring modern and proactive leadership to this community. That being said, I appreciate everybody's time tonight and coming on here, spending your time, your evening with us. We know there's a lot of hardworking folks out there that this means a lot to, and I want to be the best person for the job. And I think that a resume that I have proves it. You know, 20 years in business administration, 11 of that concurrently with being in law enforcement administration. I've seen the worst of the worst in Huerfano County, sadly, and because I'm trying to maintain that indifference I don't know everybody by name, and I think that that's a huge thing. There's no nepotism coming from my administration, from my campaign. Just a lot of good folks that I watched get victimized pretty horribly in my time as a police sergeant and detective for the city of Walsenburg and around southeast Colorado as well. Absolutely, there was problems there too. But Walsenburg's kind of Walsenburg and Huerfano County's kind of grown special in my heart. Like I said, it's become my home, and I want my kids to grow up in a good environment that I can be proud of. I want to take a big swing at that. So that's all I have to say. Everybody with the vote, you've got till June 30th to decide between me and Jim. I look forward to the opportunity. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. Thanks, Jim and Bruce, for being here.
All right. Thank you, Will. Let's move on. Bruce, your turn for a three-minute summary.
Okay. I believe what the county benefits from me being sheriff is my dedication. I've been through the easy times. I've been through the hard times. I can tell you that I believe we have an extremely large amount of public trust. Again, it's not going to be 100%. Nobody's going to have 100%. But my knowledge, my experience, I've been battle-tested in a lot of different ways, anywhere from major incidences to homicides, fires. I've been battle-tested. I'm experienced. And one of the biggest things, I think, is because I care. These are my people, my county, my home. This is where I am. This is what I do. And we are making progress. I mean, the first year we took over the police department, we dropped crime 13%. And the state of Colorado, crime goes up tremendously every year. We're still at the levels we were 20 years ago. And I believe that's because of my leadership, my team. I mean, I like to say, oh, it's all me. I've had excellent teams. I think I'm good at picking officers and managing them. I have to manage the budget and have been for 24 years, what budget we have. I've been in business before. I know how a business works. This is who I am. This is where I'm at. And like I said, the biggest thing is I care. We're moving forward. We're keeping crime low. We've got some of the lowest in the state. It's easy to get online and check statistics, and you'll see we're still way under what the normal Colorado crime rate is.
All right, Jim, we'll go to you for 3 minutes.
All right. Thank you. I don't think I'll need the whole 3 minutes, but you know, I will start off the way I started here. My name is Jim Chamberlain. I'm a 26-year Air Force combat veteran, a 19-year law enforcement officer. I've served as chief of police here in Walsenburg. I served as a deputy marshal in Levita. I've led in combat zones overseas and on the streets right here at home. I know how to make tough decisions, and I don't back down from responsibility. Public safety is not negotiable. The sheriff's badge represents authority, integrity, and accountability. It's not a political position. It's a position of trust and strength. I spent 43 years in this county. I know, you know, people in political circles like to call them constituents. I don't call them constituents. They're my family and my friends. I know the land, I know the people, and I know what it takes to keep the community safe, and we'll continue that. If you want experienced leadership, proven sheriff, proven service, and a sheriff who will put public safety first every single day, I ask for your vote. Let's restore strength, confidence, and safety for the people of Huerfano County, and I thank you and ask for your vote on June 30th.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. And you've been listening to the Huerfano County Sheriff's Candidate Forum live here on KSBK-FM. I'm Paul Richards. Thank you for joining us. We now return to our regular programming.
KSBK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 8 o'clock.
ABC. KSBK News, I'm Stephanie Officer. President Trump is in France for the G7 World Leaders Summit, fresh off his announcement that the U.S. and Iran have reached a ceasefire agreement. ABC's Karen Travers reports from Geneva.
The deal, according to the president, would reopen the Strait of Hormuz and lift the U.S. blockade on Iranian ports, a return to the status quo before the war.